Oh, Father, we just worship you and we just praise you. We just thank you for this opportunity, Father. We just glorify your name tonight, oh God. Lord, I ask that you anoint your word to the hearts of your people tonight, oh God. Lord, that you anoint it, Father, to the deep places. Let it minister to them, oh God. Let it become alive to them like never before, Father. Lord, let it just stir the deep waters in them, oh God. The deep places in them, Father, for your glory, oh God. For your glory, Father, Lord, that we might be strengthened in you, Lord, that we might grow and mature in you, Lord, that you might extend the boundaries of our tents, oh God, Lord, that we might bring your glory right here on earth, oh God, Lord, that it would be revealed in us, it would be seen in us, oh God, Lord, that you would be revealed, precious Jesus. Oh, we just ask you to have your way, Holy Spirit. Oh, we just praise your name, have your way, Lord. And we just give you the glory and the honor and the praise here tonight, oh God. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Wow, praise your name, Jesus. Well, if you will just turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to read it in portions. We're not going to read it all at once. We're going to read it kind of in portions. So we're going to start at verse 1. And it says, maybe? Mark chapter 5? We're going to start at verse 21, excuse me. Verse 21. Says, there we go. And it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Okay, I want to stop there. I want to stop right there and talk for a moment. The Lord has been ministering this story to me for months and months and months. And I thought I had a message prepared about it months and months ago. And the Lord kept telling me, no, you're not ready yet. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. I'm like, Lord, it's a pretty easy story. It's pretty straightforward there. I mean, how am I not getting it? I mean, it's a great story, Lord. But, you know, I don't get what I'm not getting. And the Lord said, you're still not getting it. You can't preach that. You can't go there yet. And so I have been reading this over and over. And then I'd put it aside. Okay, I'm just fine. I'm just not going to get a message out of it. It's fine, Lord. I'll just move on. And then the Lord would take me right back to that story. No, you can't leave right here. Lord, it's getting repetitive, really repetitive. And he says, yeah, and you're still not getting it. So I have studied this for a minimum of 6 months. I think 8 to be more accurate. But we're just going to say 6. 6 months. So I sat down this evening after I got done homeschooling my grandkids. I sat down in the big easy chair and I thought, Lord, I'm going to just read through the story again and reacquaint myself with it once again, you know, because it kind of stirs my heart every time I start reading it, right? And the Lord showed me something new that I hadn't seen. Listen to this. It says, Jairus went to Jesus and fell at his feet. Now, the same story is also in Matthew chapter 9. I don't have it for up there, so don't worry about going there. But let me just read it to you what it says in Matthew chapter 9. It says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him. Now, okay, so in the first one here, the first one we read, it said, came and fell at his feet. But then this same story that we read about in Matthew says, came and worshipped him. Do you know what the Lord said? There's two things. First of all, when you fall at the Lord's feet, it's worship. When we humble ourselves and lay ourselves down at his feet, it's worship. I've never doubted that. I've always felt that that was worship. But what did the other one say? It said he came and worshiped him. But it didn't say about throwing him at his feet. So what would be the worship in what he did? He said to Jesus, if you come and lay hands on her, she will be healed. So when we tell God what he can do, how great he is, how powerful, how awesome, how there isn't anything he can't do, it's worship. It's worship. So when we humble ourselves before him, it's worship. When we bow before him on our knees, it's worship. And when we declare who he is to the heavens, when we declare who he is to the circumstances, when we declare who he is to the enemy, it's worship also. Woo! That got me excited. That was a freebie. That was a last minute sneak it in. Wow, praise the Lord. So here is, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong over and over again if I can't constantly read it. Jairus. Here is Jairus. His daughter, it says at this point, his daughter was at death's door. How long did it take for her to get there? How long, right? How long did he wait to go to Jesus? He was a ruler of the synagogue, a leader. So he knows the scuttlebutt about Jesus. He knows what's being said. He knows we don't want him. We don't want to mess with him. Don't encourage him. Don't do anything that's going to lift him up and make him seem greater amongst the people than he is. Stay away from that one. We know all those things. They knew. He knew. Jairus knew all of those things. And yet in his heart, he knew something more powerful. He knew what Jesus could do. He knew what Jesus would do. Oh, how often are we like this ruler of the synagogue? How often do we know that Jesus is the answer? How often do we know that there isn't anything Jesus can't do? How often do we know that if we just go to him, he's going to answer. He's going to do the impossible. And yet we wait. And we wait. We think, you know, we can find our own way, our own strength, you know. So maybe they're trying all the medical herbs and remedies of the day. You know, we don't know if this was his baby or his firstborn. We don't know anything about her other than she was his baby, his little girl. How long did he wait? To the point of death he waited. You don't just wake up one day and you're at the point of death. It's a little bit of a slow road. It takes time to get to that place. And he pondered and he thought. And I can just see it in my head. I can just, you know, it's like I'm there and I can just see him. He's pacing. I know what to do, but I can't do it. I know what I should do, but I can't do it. What will they say? What will the other leaders say? What will the other rulers say? Man, if I just went to him, it could all be stopped. Oh, it's not that bad. She'll be better tomorrow. I'm just making a big thing out of nothing. She'll be fine. It'll be fine. I don't need to bother the teacher, the master. No, I don't need to go there. Whoa, what will that bring on my house? No, I think it'll be fine. And time just kept going. And whatever it was she had just kept progressing until one day it was the point of death. You know, I can imagine whoever's treating her, you know, the doctor of the time. I can imagine them just saying, you know, just get your heart ready because there's nothing that can be done. It's over. You know, it's just waiting for it to happen, but it's going to happen. There's no stopping it. And I know in his heart, he said, that's it. That's it. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. This is not the end because I know somebody bigger. It is not over because I know the master. It is not the end because I know if I humble myself before him, he will heal her. He finally worked up the courage. He's known it from the beginning. He's finally worked up the courage. And he goes, that's it. I'm going. I'm going. Nothing's going to stop me now. I'm going. And he knows right where Jesus is at. And he goes to him. Oh, and he approaches Jesus. Whew, and he just goes up before him and places his head at Jesus' feet and says, Master, I know if you come and lay hands on my daughter, she will be healed. He had no doubt. He knew who Jesus was. He had no doubt who Jesus was and what he was doing on this earth. It took time for him to work up the courage to go against the rest of his group, the rest of the leaders. It took time for him wanting to put himself in that place where he had to take a stand for the kingdom. But he finally got there. You know how he got there? His little girl on death's door. How often do we wait till we're at that place, before we take it to the Lord, before we start trusting Him with it, before we go against what anybody else is going to say, before we don't even care what anybody else is going to say? How long do we wait? How long? Whoo, he waited too long in my book, but praise God, it was just in time. So, hallelujah. So he made a decision. He had already believed. He already knew what Jesus could do. And he was so desperate that nothing was more important than seeing his daughter raised. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? When he went to Jesus and he bowed, he humbled himself before Jesus. What did Jesus do? Okay, well, let's go. Let's go. No big deal. There was no, you know, this is kind of the last hour here. You really should have come to me days ago. It might be too late. I might not be able to do the job now. I mean, you know, time is important to me. And, well, you know, you just waited too late. You just might be out of luck. Jesus has never given that answer to anybody ever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Jesus just said, let's go. So imagine, oh, finally, you've got the answer you need. Oh, just imagine it. You know, you've been watching your little girl grow frailer and sicker by the day. By the day, you have watched her life dwindling away. And you have finally come to the one who can save her. You're finally with him, and he's going with you. You're leading him to your house, and bam, somebody reaches out and touches Jesus. And Jesus has to stop. Wait, don't stop. We got to keep going. She's dying. We can't stop here. We got to keep going, Jesus. She's in trouble. But Jesus stops. Remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? This is her. This is where it takes place. Just after Jairus gets the courage to approach Jesus, just after Jesus says, okay, let's go, they start walking. And this woman presses through the crowd and touches him. Oh, I can imagine Jairus having mixed emotions, because it's like, whoo, a miracle just happened. Whoo, whoo, something great just happened. Whoo, this is awesome. If he did it for her, he can do it for me. And she just touched his garment. But this is a time-sensitive thing. We got to get to my daughter. We got to get there because she's at this door. Oh, but if he can do it for her, I've known all along he could do it for my girl. We got to go. But Jesus stops to deal with this. Have you ever felt so desperate for the answer? You go to him, you know he's sending the answer, and then it's like, hurry up and wait some more. Have you ever had that happen? You know it's coming, you've taken it to him, you know without a doubt he's answering it because he's faithful and he's true, and yet you're stuck in the waiting place. You know, he couldn't go forward without Jesus. I mean, Jesus was the whole point. He couldn't just walk away. Okay, catch up to me, Jesus. I'm going to meet you there. He had to stop and he had to wait. And he had to watch this whole exchange, this whole thing that took place. But in the middle of it, he also was seeing an incredible miracle took place. Oh, hallelujah. So we're going to skip on down. So while Jesus is still talking to this woman, and he's just wrapping up with her, He's telling her, you know, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And it says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Can you imagine Jairus' heart? Can you imagine his heart? So excited, so hopeful. I mean, he finally approached Jesus and Jesus said, yeah, let's go. No trouble. And then he stopped on the way. There's another hurry up and wait. And then before they get moving again, it's too late. What a buildup to a letdown. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do in that position? Have you ever been there? Or like you were waiting, and every time it seems to get close, it's just ripped away. The enemy just steals it away. You know, sometimes the Lord allows things to be taken for his glory to be revealed, for his glory to be seen. You know, when my parents, they're not here, so I'm going to share. when my parents went to Mexico, they lost their house just while they were down in Mexico. And for years, my dad kept telling the Lord, Lord, I want an answer. I want to know, why did you allow that to happen? That was my security. That was my future. That was my family's future. Why did you allow this to happen, Lord? You knew we'd need that. And the Lord took years to answer. Do you know what the Lord finally said when he answered him? He said, I allowed that so you couldn't run home to that when things got tough. Things got tough in Mexico more than once. But, you know, God did miraculous things. They were needed right there. God was using them right there. And the glory of God was seen in him. You know, there is more than one service where he walked in on my arm with a cane, and it seemed like he was hardly even alive. But by the time he got up to minister, he was like a young man jumping and hopping. He dropped his cane or threw his cane down in the chairs. And he just preached his heart out. And people saw that. How can he be like that? And now he's like that. Look at what God did. God's glory was revealed because he couldn't escape. He couldn't run away when things get tough. How many times are we on the verge of receiving something great, and then the enemy steals it away, and then we just give up? We're just done. This situation is too horrible. It'll never change. It'll never change. God can't change this. I mean, you know, God doesn't change man. That's up to man. And this man is clearly never, ever going to change. So what's the point of going on? What's the point? He's not going to fix this. He's not going to do anything. You know, Jairus could have thought that way too. Well, she's dead. What's the point? I might as well just walk away and save what I can of my reputation. I can just tell him I just was saying hi. Nobody has to really know why I went to him, really. I mean, they might believe me. But he didn't because of this. Listen to this. Oh, this excites me. This gets me so excited. Listen to this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." From so much faith and hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. To just hearing his baby is gone. He went from the highest high. Whoo, Jesus is going to do it. My baby's going to live. There's hope. This isn't over. It's done. It's over. She's gone. And I can imagine his face as he's standing there. Remember, there's a huge multitude of people. There's a huge crowd. And they're just pressed all around Jesus. And so I imagine Jesus and Jairus are standing very closely. And I can imagine Jesus sees his face and Jesus says, hey, just have faith. Believe. Believe. I'm still here. It's not over until I say it's over. It's not over till I'm done doing what I am doing. It's not done until my glory is revealed. It's not done until all of heaven is shouting and glorifying my name, because I am the one who can do it. With me, nothing is impossible. How often do we forget that with Him nothing is impossible? Oh, hallelujah. With Him nothing is impossible. He's always got a plan. Before Jairus ever went to Jesus, his provision for his daughter was already made. Jesus was the provision, and he was already here. It was already done before his daughter was ever born. The provision was made. Your provision, whatever it is you need today, your provision has already been prepared for you. Only believe. Have faith, trust, and see what God is doing. Hallelujah. Woo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to him, do not be afraid. Only believe. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Now, I don't know if any of you know this about the Jewish culture, but they have what's called professional mourners. And it was the pride of every family to have a mourner, you know, that they could call on, that would just wail and just raise a ruckus to raise the roof so that everybody knew that you were grieving. Everybody knew that you had lost somebody. Everybody could hear it. And it just went on and on and on. Isn't that what the enemy does to us? Isn't that what he does? Doesn't he just raise a ruckus every time we're in that place? Just believe. Just believe. Doesn't the enemy start raising a ruckus? Oh, God won't do this. You're not good enough. You're not special enough. Oh, he doesn't love you that much. No, this is too big a job for God. Why would God do this for you anyway? It's not like you're faithful or anything. I mean, really? Really? I know you. You know you. Isn't that what the enemy does? He starts raising this ruckus that rings and rings and rings in our ears until we're going, I know, right? I know. I know I'm not good. I know I'm bad. I know nobody's ever loved me. Why would Jesus love me? Because nobody else has ever loved me. And really, why would Jesus do this for me? Because it was just last week I was naughty. And I mean, really, why would he do this for me? I'm a nobody. So it just makes this subtle shift, you know, the enemy mocking and raising a ruckus to where all of a sudden agreeing with him. And do you know what? In our Friday night Bible study group, which everybody at A New Beginning is invited to, or anybody online, we're reading this book about the power of your words. And there was something that was said in this book that impacted me tremendously. This is what Marilyn Hickey is, who the study's through. This is what she said. She said, all hell acts on your negative. Everything you say that is not according to the word that comes out of your mouth, that is not a blessing, all of hell comes to attention and begins to act on those words sown. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, of course God wouldn't do that for me. I mean, who am I? All of those things, hell jumps to attention and begins to act on those words. You have sowed seeds of destruction into your own life, seeds of doubt, seeds of self-hate, seeds of feeling unworthy. You have sowed those seeds into yourself because of the ruckus the enemy was raising, and now you're going to have to deal with those things. Because hell can only act on the negative, on the things that are counter to the word of God. And so when we speak those things, hell begins to move. But when we speak the word of God, when we praise and worship God, the enemy has to stop. He can't act. He can't act, hallelujah, against the word of God. He can't fight against the word of God. He knows when we speak the word, when we believe the word, and we believe what we're speaking, that his hands are tied. Ooh, that's so powerful. That's so powerful. And so they get to the house and there's just this ruckus going on. People are wailing and weeping and mourning. Oh, and when Jesus came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child's not dead, but sleeping." Oh, you know, sometimes when we speak out something, the enemy has to get his 2 cents in too. And so what's it say happened? It says they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. They ridiculed him for telling them what they couldn't see. You know, they saw her dead. They saw she wasn't breathing. They saw the life drain out of her through this sickness. And they couldn't believe she was anything but dead. So when he said to them, "She's just sleeping," they ridiculed him. "What, you can't tell the difference between alive and dead? Woo, some Messiah you are. You don't even know what's going on." And you know what Jesus did to the scoffers and the ridiculers? He put them outside. That's exactly what we need to do to the enemy. When he starts making his ruckus, when he begins to ridicule us, when he begins to start up with his garbage, we need to just put him outside. We need to put on worship and turn it up so loud that we can't hear the ruckus of the enemy. And we need to just humble ourselves before Jesus and begin to worship, begin to praise him, begin to tell him he can do this. I know that he is the only one who can do this. He is who sustains you. He is who covers you. He is who heals you. He is who protects you. He is who lifts you up. He is the lifter of your head. He is your protector and your covering. Hallelujah. And not listen to the ruckus that the enemy is saying out there. Hallelujah. So they put them all outside. That's awesome. I've had people in my house I wanted to put out a few times. If I'd only had the courage to do it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But really, the enemy makes a great noise to steal our focus off of Jesus. To steal our focus off of what we know to be truth. You know, the three Hebrew children went before the king. They were called before the king because they did not worship his statue, his idol. And the king told him, "You know, I like you guys really well. You've been great servants. But if you don't obey the laws, I'm going to have to kill you." And do you know what they said to Jesus, what they said to the king? They said, "You know, great king, our God can save us from you, from this, if he chooses to. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow and worship you." Why can't we live like that, with that being our attitude? Why, when the enemy comes and raises his ruckus and begins to ridicule and scream at us, why can't we just say, hey, you know what? God can save me from this, but even if he doesn't, I will not listen to you, Satan. I will not bow to you. I will not worship you. I will not believe a single word out of your mouth. Praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know he is able. He is more than able to save me. I know he is my deliverer, no matter what you say. I know that he is my salvation, and my strength comes from him, and I am in him, and I am his temple, and I am the light of the world, and I am the salt of the earth. No matter what you say to me, I will not give in and worship you. But instead, what do? We start listening to the clamoring because it gets hard not to hear. But what we need to do is fall to our knees and cry out to Jesus and begin to declare who he is and what he can do over the situation and over our circumstances. Praise the Lord. You know, it says in Psalms 1:1, How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We don't have to sit there. We don't have to stand there. Oh, praise the Lord. There is something better we can do. We can get on our knees before the Lord and begin to worship Him. Begin to declare the Word of God over our lives, over the situation, over the circumstances. We can begin to worship the Lord and tell Him how mighty and how great He is and how much we trust Him no matter what comes against us. Hallelujah. We need to rebuke the enemy with the Word of God. You know, in Psalms 32:8, the Word says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You know, Jesus didn't see a dead little girl. Hallelujah. Jesus saw something totally different than what the scoffers saw, than what the mourners saw. Oh, where we can see only death, Jesus sees life. He sees life. Where we can't see a hope and a future, He knows there's one for us because He's already planned to give us a hope and a future. Where we can't begin to understand and make sense of what's going on, He knows where to lead us and where to direct us because He sees not what's here just right now, but He sees what's in front of us. He sees where we've come from and where we're going. He can see what we can't see, and He can understand what we cannot possibly understand. And He knows the answer. He has the answer. He's already made provision no matter our circumstances, no matter what we're facing. He has made provision for you and me, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that excites me. Hallelujah. With His eye, He will guide us with what He sees, with what He sees, with what He knows. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to trust God's vision. We need to trust His ways. We need to trust Him to know what we can't know. We need to trust Him to lead us. Even if we don't understand where He's taking us, we need to trust Him. You know, when God called us to go to Mexico, my words to the Lord was exactly this. Are you crazy, God? Really, me? Have you seen my life? Do you remember who I am? You know where my life has been? Are you crazy? You're going to send me to a foreign country? Really? And I thought about it for a while as I was praying. I said, okay, God, I'm all in. If you're crazy, I'm crazy too. It's okay with me, Lord. I'll go wherever you're sending me. Mexico were the best years of my life so far. Best years of my life. I have no regrets, no matter what we went through. And every year it seemed like the trials we went through were harder and harder until the last year we were there, the year we had to leave. That was the hardest thing I have ever had to do, leaving there. It broke my heart in every possible way. Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? How are you going to do this? I don't even know. I can't even begin to go through this. Lord, we have a 7-bedroom house. What am I going to do? How am I going to get this home? How are we going to get... Lord, I can't even go there. Lord, are you sure? But at some point, you just have to give in and say, okay, God. Okay, I fall before you in worship. Whatever you say, I'm in. And I'm just going to trust you to work it out. And you know, He worked it out every bit of the way. Every bit of the way. Every bit of the way. And so we're going back to Mexico in May. I'm very excited about it. But it's a very different situation. You know, before, when groups came into Mexico, I was there. And I made all the arrangements for the groups. I picked the groups up. I took them to my house to take care of them. And I cooked for them. And I fed them. And I took them to services. I did all the work. I'm not there. And now I'm having to depend on other people. And that is not a really comfortable place for me to be. And I was telling Pastor, this is driving me crazy to think about making all these arrangements. Who am I going to ask? Who am I going to depend on? Lord, what am I going to do? And Pastor said to me, which he didn't know this message was coming at the time. I told him after this. He said, you know what? God's already made provision. And I had to look at him and say, you know, you're right. Do you know why? You know, because I've been studying this for somewhere over 6 months. And this is what the Lord's been speaking to me. So I know that no matter how unsure I am, this is like asking me to walk out on a plank. And I'm terrified of heights. But I'm going to do it. Because I know Jesus has got me. And I know he's got this. And I know his provision is always sufficient. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to be ruled by fear. I'm not going to listen to the scoffing and the clamoring that the enemy makes. I am going to trust Jesus, praise the Lord. And that's what we need to do in every situation, in everything in our lives, praise God. You know, in 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I can just imagine Jairus hearing his daughter's dead. He's got a decision. He's got a decision. Jesus says, just believe. Only believe. He's got a decision. What's it going to be? Is he going to listen to the ruckus? His daughter's dead. She's dead. There's no hope. There's no coming back from dead. Or is he going to believe? What has the enemy stolen from you? What has the enemy told you? It is dead. What is it? Because if you just believe, there is still life ahead. Oh, and Jairus had to make a choice. He had to make a decision. Am I going to listen? Am I going to believe that my daughter's dead? Or am I going to hold on? And am I going to believe that Jesus has a provision for me? What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Oh, hallelujah. What are you going to believe? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, so Jesus got there and he took the father and he took the mother and his two disciples with him, or his three disciples, and he entered into where the child was laying, and he took the child by the hand and he said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I see you. Arise. Ha ha. Do you know what? Jesus sees you. He sees you wherever you're at. Hallelujah. What other circumstances you are facing. Jesus sees you. Hallelujah. Not your mother, not your father, not your brother, your sister. He sees you. He's not looking past you to someone else. He sees you. Hallelujah. And he has made provision for you. Hallelujah. Oh, he saw that little girl. Oh, hallelujah. And immediately the little girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. Hallelujah. And his very last sentence, it says, and he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? When you are in a place of physical illness for that long, your physical body becomes extremely weak and you need food. But I think what Jesus was saying here was she needed another kind of food. I think she was saying to them, tell her what I have done. Tell her about me. Tell her that I live. Tell her that I healed her, that I am her king. Tell her who I am. Hallelujah. Oh, and that's the last thing the enemy wants us to tell somebody, right? Who Jesus is. Woo, but that's what we need to be doing. We need to tell the world who Jesus is and that he's made a provision for his people. Hallelujah. In Matthew 4:4, the word says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If Jesus has healed her, and if he hadn't have told them, feed her, feed her. If she'd have never known who he was, what he did would have been for nothing. Because she'd have died again one day. And she'd have never have known him. And I believe that's why Jesus said, feed her. because he stated multiple times in the New Testament, correct, that he was the living bread. He was the bread of life, the living waters. Oh, hallelujah. She needed to know who he was. She needed to know who her Savior was. Hallelujah. And she was putting it on Jairus and his wife to see that she got it. He had come to Christ. He humbled himself. He had a need. And Jesus answered that need and then instructed him, "You know who I am. Feed her. Tell her." Hallelujah. And he had to share that with his daughter. Oh, hallelujah. In Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." This is the most important part of this verse. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, maybe Jairus waited so late because it wasn't wise in his own eyes to go to Jesus because of what the other rulers of the synagogue would say. Hallelujah. We can't be wise in our own eyes. Oh. We have to trust the Lord. And the Lord telling us to move to Mexico seemed a little crazy. I mean, not just to me. Everybody we told thought we were nuts. You know, well, you're a prissy girl. You don't know what it is to have a hard life. You don't know what it is to suffer. How on earth can you go be a missionary? Wow. She knew me so good. Wow. Huh. Isn't that amazing? We can't believe the scoffers. We have to believe what Jesus says. We have to believe his word. We have to believe what he has taught us, what he has told us. Praise the Lord. Not wise in our eyes. Let's be wise in his eyes. Let's ask him for wisdom. Hallelujah. Because he will give wisdom. Praise the Lord. And with Philippians 4:19. Hallelujah. And this says, Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory." You know, Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That was the first verse I learned in Spanish. And then if you read down just a little bit further, so I can do all things. I can face all things. I can live through all things. I can live through all circumstances. I can face all attack. I can face all reproach. I can face all who abandon me. I can face all who scream and make a great ruckus in my ears because I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things, not some things, not half the things, not a little bit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then if we read just a little bit further, we get down to this verse, "And God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Oh, there is no need that we have today or tomorrow or the next day that he doesn't know what it is. There is no need that he hasn't already made provision for you and I. Oh, what a mighty, mighty God we serve. You know, this story seems so simple on the surface. And it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. Jesus takes what's dead and brings life. He is the supplier of life. If we would just worship him, he will answer. If we will just worship him, he is going to be there. If we'll just trust him and have faith in him, there isn't anything he wouldn't do for you and I. I mean, he's already done the greatest possible thing that can be done, has he not? He's already sent his son to die on a cross. You know, I could die for my son or my daughter or my grands, but asking me to die for yours, well, I'm not sure I could go there. I got my kids. I got my grands I got to live for. Right? But God didn't look at it like that. He gave Jesus to die in our place, knowing that provision was being made before we were ever going to need it, knowing that He was making the ultimate provision for our lives. Oh, hallelujah. It excites me. It excites me that He loved me so much that He sent His Son to become my provision for salvation. Hallelujah. He became my sacrifice when I couldn't make a sacrifice good enough or big enough or pure enough or holy enough on my own. He sent His Son. Hallelujah. He made provision. Oh, glory to God. There is no area of our life that He has not made provision for you. There is no need you have that He has not made provision for you. Whatever your need is, if it's healing, if it's salvation, if it's a loved one, if it's a change of circumstances, if it's financial, it doesn't matter what your need is. I am telling you, He has made provision, but you don't have to take my word for it. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. He has said He has made provision for you. He is your provision, and no good thing would He withhold from those who trust and believe. Oh, hallelujah. What a great, great thing that is. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's say a prayer tonight in closing. And if you want prayer afterwards, you know how much I love to pray. Almost as much as, well, I love to pray more than preach. So even more than I love to preach, and you know how much I love to preach. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, we just come to You with our needs. Lord, I don't even have to list them. They are many. But You know my every need. God knows Your every need. And Lord, I just lift these needs before You, Lord. And I just come and I tell You there is no need greater than what You can supply. There is no need I have, Lord, that is outside Your realm of possibility or abilities. Lord, I thank You that You have all my needs in Your hands. I thank You, Father, that You are who provides for me. You are my healer, Lord. You are my provision. You are my portion. You are my part, oh God. You were my sacrifice, Jesus. And Lord, I thank You that no matter what my need is today, You have already supplied the provision, Lord. And I just ask You to meet the needs of everyone hearing this tonight, oh God. Meet their needs, whatever their needs are, oh God. Lord, You just send the answer to them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give You glory and we give You praise. And we just say, thank You, Father. Thank You for Your greatness. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your sacrifice, Lord. Thank You for Your provision, Father. In the name of Jesus, we just praise Your holy name. Ooh, Rabbah. We just praise Your holy name, Jesus. We just praise Your name. We say, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for the provision that's been made, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank you for watching, for tuning in tonight. I want to thank all of you guys for coming. You want to do this part because you're so much better at it. Hallelujah. And if anybody wants prayer.
Hallelujah. Come on. We serve a great big God, don't we? I don't know about you, but I needed that tonight. I needed to hear that word tonight. That was a right-on word for me. Amen. And again, I just pray that everybody that's watching, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, there's no better time than right now. Just call upon Him. The Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He will reach out to you. So just reach out to Him. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.